All right, your show is called Joker Motive. In your professional opinion, is Melbourne's rail system worthy of ridicule?
Well, is Melbourne's rail... Do you know, I haven't used it, and I find it very, very hard to believe it could be any worse than British Rail, so I should think it doesn't deserve to be ridiculed at all. I just think it's probably brilliant.
All right, it's perfectly legitimate. In 2004, you held the Guinness World Record for most jokes told in 1 hour.
Yeah.
400 something. I was going to look that up. I didn't have
499.
499. Yeah. However, that...
How do you get as far as what getting the... you have time for the first digit and not the next two? How busy are you? That's incredible, Dave. That's just, I can only read the first digit of this number. And then I'm afraid I'm going to have to go.
My apologies. Yeah. However, that record was stolen from you by Australian comedian by the name
Beaten.
Limo. Who actually now lives in Melbourne.
Does he?
Yes.
Oh, in fact, yes, I met him last year.
Did you seek any revenge?
No, I didn't, because I was about 2 pints in, and I'm a bit of a bad drinker. And so I only really remembered it the following day. I thought, did someone come up to me yesterday and say that they got my record? And I realised they had. I was waiting outside the town hall and someone said, hi, I'm Lima, I borrowed your world record, and walked off. And I went, right. And then it dawned on me that was true.
Yeah, well, there's still time. I mean, you can still get back this. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Right. What is your career best pun?
Well, I mean, and you'll hear many comics say this, it's a lot like, they're a lot like your children. So I can't really, I wouldn't like to single one out, make the others feel terribly hurt. But if I had to single one out, I don't know, my career, well, I have a soft spot for one-armed butlers. They can take it, but they can't dish it out.
What about, what's your worst one? Career worst pun?
Well, again, it's like if you have a child that has a bad leg, you don't go up to them and go, well, you're not as good as the others. You quietly put them in a different school. Yeah, so I mean, there are, what I do when I'm getting a show together, I write lots and lots of stuff, and I try it all out in clubs and stuff, and I'm constantly crossing out. So for the hour that you see tonight, you may find this hard to believe when the quality of this hour, blimey, what did we throw away? But for that hour, there's at least another hour, probably more, that I wrote that really didn't really quite deliver in front of me.
Who makes you laugh?
Well, friends make me laugh. I think for most of us, people who make us laugh in a really big way are friends, aren't they? That's when you really find yourself absolutely, you know, laughing about something. It's some situation with your mates. It takes something a bit special to be watching a comic and you get that sort of laughter. And it does happen, but less than it does with your mates. Which shows the power of friendship, folks.
Very nice. Do you find comedians make good friends, good company, or are they just annoying?
No, they're not annoying. My overall experience of comedians is they're nice people, because I think comedians have this thing about wanting to be liked. Actually, probably everyone has that thing. They want to be liked. So, you know, most people in the world will try and be pleasant, because they don't like the feeling of someone not liking them. Then you meet one or two people in all walks of life who don't care about that feeling of not being liked, and then they just have, you know. But even then, you know, the famous phrase, hurt people, nice people.
Doesn't quite work.
Doesn't
work. No.
It doesn't. No. I niced someone today. It doesn't really work. It's an adjective, really. It's a very weak word, one way or the other. Although I've always thought that was its strength. People say, well, we should get rid of nice from the English language because it doesn't really mean anything. But that's the great thing about it. If you want to say something and be ambiguous, then you can use the word nice. But you might want to go into it. You wouldn't want to say, look, there's a nice tree. I agree. I got off the point. So I think that generally comedians are friendly people and they're nice. I'm not trying to be ambiguous. They seem to be nice.
Nice answer. Have you seen any other shows while you're in town?
Not at all. I hate everyone else. Oh, sorry.
Right.
Yes, no, well, I want to see more than I've seen, actually. I've seen Nina Conti, which is brilliant, and I've seen the headliners show, the American headliners thing, And the girl who came on first, whose name I forget, was my favourite. She came on wearing a snorkel and a diving mask. Did something, it's just very funny. Sang a song. And I've seen something else, and what was it? What else have I seen? I'm sure I've seen something else. It'll come back to me in a minute. Oh, bum. Oh, well, I saw last night the guy was doing a show about Michael Jackson. That was quite interesting.
All right, yeah.
Dan Willis, very good, worth going to see.
All right. I've heard you make Scrabble jokes. Are you a keen Scrabble player?
I sometimes play my mum and dad, and my mum has this great thing that she does, which is that she always goes, oh, look at these letters, oh, it's hopeless, I can't do anything with this, oh, it's terrible, oh, absolute, oh, anaesthetic, 90. She always does that. So second, she's basically going, oh, these are terrible, you know, she's about to put a big word down. So I don't, it's all reverse psychology. I don't go for it. I know her game.
Have you made any memorable words? Career best.
Remembrance, that was a memorable word. How many letters would that be? No, I'm not actually too many.
Don't know if that's legal, yeah.
I'm not actually that good at Scrabble. I don't play that often. I've got a couple of Scrabble jokes, but that's only because I'm looking for subjects to tell jokes about that I haven't done before.
Very nice. I loved the sketch show.
Did you?
Yeah, you're my favourite in there.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Oh,
right. I was one time I was I used to quote the show with my brother. Yeah. One time I was quoting it to him, I actually made him wet his pants.
What was the?
It was the blood sample.
Blood. That's my blood sample.
Yes.
Do you know what? That's funny about that because that I had to fight for that to be in. A lot of my silly jokes like that, you had to put them. Put them towards everyone around the table, and people would go, nah, you know.
This was yours? You wrote this?
Yeah, this was my one. I made that up, yeah. Actually, I think I put that in my act, actually, since. Blood. It's my blood sample. Nonsense. You'll enjoy my show tonight, if you like that one.
is that normal to make your audience urinate, after?
I don't know whether it's normal. But it's a sign of, you know, it's a bit like a monkey. They do that to show respect.
It's the greatest form of respect, I'm sure, in some cultures.
Yeah.
I was wondering, would you care to be a judge in a mini version of the comedy comedy equivalent of So You Think You Can Dance that I've just invented just now called...
So
You Think You Can Pun.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. I want to be a judge.
Great. So I have some puns. Some are better than others.
I'll give my
some harsh criticism.
I'll give some pun back.
Right. First pun. I was in a bar last night. I said to the barman, what have you got in the way of cider? He said, the fridge door.
Very good. Now, I actually like that joke a lot. I've heard... it's funny you should say it because Paul Merton... Do you know Paul Merton?
Right,
he's an English comic.
All right.
He had a sketch show called the Paul Merton Sketch Show. And he did that joke, but he was in a sweet shop, and the bloke came in and said, what have you got in the way of cigarettes? And he said, nothing, they're just here. Right, so it's the same thing, but it was my favourite joke of his series. He used to use it as a clip from his thing. So I would say, the quality of joke, I'd give that, you know, an 8.5. For originality, it would have to get a low mark, because I feel like I've heard it before. Which may not be any fault of the writer, whether it was you or not, I don't know.
It was me. I didn't Google it afterwards. I do that sometimes.
That's the thing about wordplay, is that there's one or two people around who've been through the dictionary with a fine tooth comb, of which I'm one. So go on, give me the next one.
All right, next one. A friend of mine writes reviews for an astronomy magazine. It's pretty cloudy last night. He awarded it no stars.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard that done like that. I thought you were going to say something about it being astronomical or something, or, you know, watch this space. But the only thing about that is, for originality, that would score higher than the last one. Mm. I'm not sure I'd give it an 8.5 for the simple reason that, actually, you and I know that things are given star ratings in reviews. The outside public, do they really care that much about how many stars it got and, you know... I think it's not enough of a...
Would it be better if he said he gave it one thumbs up?
He gave it the thumbs up.
That kind of ruins
it.
There's no pun. That's anti-comedy, I think.
Well, if the lead-up was different, you know, he gave it the thumbs up.
It wasn't an astronomy magazine. It was a hand modelling.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think of something. Yeah.
You're just changing the joke. It's a completely different joke.
Thumbs up, yeah. A friend of mine... Ryan was asked to show the dexterity of his fingers, and he was given a thumb.
Maybe put it back on the drawing board. There's one more. These are all just the ones I've come up in the last week.
Yeah.
There's some terrible drivers out there. Just the other day I saw a woman get cleaned up. She's hit by a street sweeper.
Now, what that has got is, I'm guessing that that's an Australian phrase, cleaned up.
Cleaned up.
Yeah,
probably.
We don't really know that so much in the UK. What does that mean? It gets knocked off the road or something? Or?
Yeah, I guess swept clean over.
Yeah.
Knocked over.
So, she got cleaned up. And what was the answer? She
was hit by a
car wash.
She could have done it. Hit by a street sweeper.
Yeah.
Which presumably would have cleaned her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, I would say of those three, that doesn't strike me as the most. I might possibly do that the other way around, actually. I might say she was hit by a street sweeper. Gosh, she got cleaned up. Maybe. I constantly wonder which way around to put the two, you know, the punchline and the setup.
This is very serious feedback.
Oh, sorry,
we're kind of a joke.
I do apologise. I thought you wanted.
Sorry.
It is a bit of maths to it. There's maths to it.
All right.
But you're right. This is.
I was thinking you'd be more of a Simon Cowell type character, you know, dishing out criticism.
No, because I think they all had something going for them. No, I wouldn't do that. No, I think I'd be more of a thoughtful. But I wouldn't, I would say with none of those three, it's not been one of those jaw-dropping moments. This guy's got the X Factor with his pun writing at that moment.
Right.
But clearly you know how to write jokes. So, as we say in the trade, keep digging up the mud, you eventually find the diamonds. Turn the audience up. Anyway, go on.
That's all the puns I had. I'd like to ask you about the neighbour's experience.
Yes.
How was the neighbour's experience?
It was a great experience, yeah. It was very, very exciting because I said it to my agent as a joke, actually. I said, can you get me? You know,
again, took it seriously.
And I think what happened was that he rang them up, because he rang up through Fremantle, who sort of run Grundy or something. And he knew someone at Fremantle, my agent did. And I think whoever he knew then went through. I think just coming via Fremantle, I think Grundy just thought, this guy's obviously a big star in England, we better do what we're told. And so the exec producer rang me up in the hotel, it was all very exciting. I think she actually knew, perhaps she wouldn't have bothered. But no, it was great. Yeah, and I tried to make it slightly funny, but I was asking where Lassitus was. And I said,
Where, sir?
Lassitus.
Lassitus.
You don't remember Lassitus?
Lassitus?
That's the name of the hotel in Neighbours, Lassitus Hotel.
All right, I thought it was called.
You remember Lassitus, surely? That noise was
wasn't
a comedy.
Wasn't it called Shea Shares or something like that?
Shea Shares, is that something else?
The coffee shop.
The coffee shop, that's there as well.
1994-ish. I'm pretty sure it was Shea Shares. That's about when I stopped watching.
No, it was always Lassiter's, and then the coffee shop as well.
All right.
Yeah, but I think that Lassiter's was the hotel for people to come and stay in when they were, you know, going to be in the story briefly and out again. But I went up and said, "Can you tell me where?" And trying to make it humorous, my one line, I said, I looked at the piece of paper and said, "Can you tell me where Lassiter's is?" And they said, "There's Lassiter's." Oh, and they said, "It's over there." And then I walked very slowly out of shot, trying to milk it.
Is that on IMDb?
Have you
now?
Got any more puns? I actually like giving feedback on puns.
The puns?
Discovered, yeah.
Jeez, what else have I got?
The pun factor, that's a great
idea. I've got some ones.
It'd be great for the. It's funny because I've just done something. Different factors.
Factors?
I just did a.
The X Factor.
Called Zoo Factor.
Okay.
Where I was playing one of the judges called Barry the Baboon. And I like the idea of being a judge.
Would you wear a wig?
Probably. That's kind of you.
Sentence you to hilarity.
Right, go on then.
We got here. This undeveloped stuff.
Have you ever tried these on stage at all?
Not this stuff. This is new. I am a comedian. I haven't done any.
Oh, you're a comic anyway? You are?
Yeah, I am.
Ah, right. Okay, right.
Yeah, makes sense now.
Yeah.
This is all undeveloped. Hello, I'm David M. Green, Typo Magazine's Man of the Beer.
Man of the Bear. That's. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Man of the Bear.
Bear works better if it's written. Beer works better if you're saying it, because I think beer is closer to beer.
Yeah, but the thing, it is sound-wise, it is, but then that's two massive typos you've done there. Is a Y is dropped out, and
two
then
letters,
another
two
letters. Yeah. So why don't you Man of the Ear or something?
Man of the Ear.
This is good. This is good stuff. Be a partial
you get Man of the Ear. At least I think that's what they said.
Couldn't hear it. Houses don't grow on trees unless it's a tree house. I've got the punchline. Do you think atheists appreciate it when you say God bless you? It's kind of like saying nice to meet you to a vegetarian. Although you wouldn't spell meat like that, or cheers to an alcoholic, I suppose.
Yeah, I can see that would work. Or you're going to do a really extreme one. That's like saying, nice to meet you to a vegetarian, or cheers to an alcoholic, or you're fat to someone who's fat.
That's just being rude.
Yeah.
I give you something. I have tried this with an audience, and it went down well. Went down to the Athlete's Foot the other day, bought a pair of shoes.
You went to the Athlete's Foot?
The Athlete's Foot.
What is that? Is that a place?
It is a place. You don't have them in the UK?
No. Is that like Foot Locker or something?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
You see people with these yellow bags.
Oh, okay.
The Athlete's
Foot. No, I only know Athlete's Foot as a disease.
Is it? Well, see, that's the kind of the joke now.
Right, okay. Right.
You're one step ahead. they have them in the US, they have them here as well. Is there one?
Right.
There's one on this street somewhere, anyway.
Yeah.
Went down to the Athlete's Foot, bought a pair of shoes. When you think about it, that's like buying a pair of sunglasses from a store called Conjunctivitis.
Very good.
I love your hat. Where'd you get it? Alopecia's. It's right next door to that sporting goods store. Lou Gehrig's disease, etc., etc.
Very good.
Cute.
What about this eye-related joke? Someone told me this. In fact, it was someone so they could so I could have it. I think I might have tried it. It didn't really work. What was it? I said to this woman. I said I really love the transparent area covering the iris of your eye. She said cornea. I said you look absolutely sensational. You fall from heaven. I was like,
How'd you get into this business?
Well, I was working in an office and I was friends with a security guard, and I heard of this place. I just sort of discovered the comedy circuit, basically. I heard of a place called the Comedy Cafe, where you ring up and you put your name down on a list and do 5 minutes.
Was this in
London?
London, right.
And I just started going there every Wednesday after work. I started going with a different 5 minutes. You know, I just write rubbish. Sometimes I'd turn up with nothing at all and go on and just start talking to you in the end. So I did that for... In fact, I remember one time saying to someone, right, give me a subject, and I'd go up and talk about it for, 5 minutes. Someone said baths. So I went on and talked about baths for 5 minutes. Get one laugh. But it was, you were experimenting, But I did that for about a year, and then it just sort of began to... the whole comedy circuit just began to open up, and I began to sort of write more and more stuff, and then... I mean, London is so great for comedy clubs. There's just so many of them.
Mm.
And it just kind of gradually snowballed like that. My main aim, watching people in comedy clubs, was this full spot, a 20-minute spot, was try and do 20 minutes. Just the idea of doing 20 minutes. It just seems so cool, As opposed to five, and you're just about running out of, steam at the end of five.
Is it standard? 20 minutes standard in the UK?
That in the clubs, it is, yeah.
Okay, because here it's more like 5 or maybe 10, and then if you do a show, it's like 45 or something like that.
Yeah, there in clubs, there's so many comedy clubs, it's normally 3 acts and a compere, and the compere comes on just 10 minutes, first act does 20, compere comes on, does a little bit, second act does 20, and you have a break, and then the last act comes on, the compere comes on, does another 5 or so, and the last act comes on, does 20, so you just have 3 20s, yeah. That's normally how it works. And in some places you might get 2 acts doing half an hour each and a compare maybe. And then, I don't tend to do the club circuit anymore. I kind of do tours and stuff now. So now I kind of do little theatres or art centres and stuff, every day. And then I would have a support act who goes on and does about 25. And then we have a break and then I do about an hour and 15 or something like that. Which is too long for my act, yeah.
How'd you land the sketch show role? Was that, did you come up with, were you part of the creation?
No, actually, was you know Steve Coogan?
Steve Coogan. He's one of the executive producers, I know.
Yeah. So basically, his company was called Baby Cow, and I think they just thought they wanted to come up with a sort of a mainstream sketch show that was funny sort of thing, because they felt that there wasn't one on telly, you know. And they decided really who the five people were they wanted to be on it. So I was just called into for a meeting, and they said, "Would you be interested in doing it?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I probably would." So I don't really have to do anything for it.
Do you like Steve Coogan?
Oh, he's fantastic. Yeah.
I've seen him live.
Have you?
Fantastic.
Yeah. What was he doing? Was he doing Partridge, or was he doing a mixture of stuff?
He did three characters. There's a woman character. And then
was he doing Pauline Calf?
That was it. And then her brother.
Yeah.
And then the Portuguese singer.
Oh, yeah.
What his name. And then the last half of it was Alan Partridge.
Yeah. No, absolutely brilliant. Very talented, yeah. And I love the TV show, the one where he's stuck in a hotel the whole time.
Is he? Because he's a pretty big name in the UK, but not really anyone knows about him here. It's very kind of.
But was Partridge not on over here then? It must have been, surely.
It was on, but it was never really big thing.
It's funny, isn't it? Because
and in the US as well, obviously.
Yeah.
He's more known for his movie roles.
Yeah, that's right. It's weird, isn't it? Because when you think about, I mean, in the UK, he really genuinely is revered as probably the. I mean, that's what that is. Alan Partridge, just as a comedy character, that would probably be in the top five of all most people's sort of British comedy character people.
Yeah.
He's very well respected over there. It's a weird thing, isn't it? I mean, I would have thought he'd go great over here, because the cultures are very similar here, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had to change all that much of my act to do it here. Whereas if I went to America, I'd have to change.
What did you think of Kelsey Grammer's version of the sketch show? Did you see any of that?
I only saw a few bits and pieces. I thought it was hilarious seeing him acting in a sketch that I'd been in.
The one where you come out of the police car and smack the...
Yeah. Did he do that one?
He did that one, yeah.
Did he? How funny. I've not seen that. Is that on the internet? Maybe it is.
Probably, yeah. I definitely saw that. Yeah.
That's funny, yeah.
Was that you in the original version?
Yeah, it was my idea. Right. The funny thing about that was that because me and Lee, we used to sort of, we're constantly trying to get sketches in all the time, and there was never, sometimes there wasn't time, and you know, somebody would say, "Look, can we just, I'll come up with an extra one, can we quickly film an extra one?" You know, and they go, "Oh, go on, then what is it?" You know, you just think about things at a time. And we'd been doing something with a tandem bike, and Lee had gone over to Henry Norman, who was the producer, and said, "I've got this extra joke, can we film it?" And it was basically that he cycles up on the bike and he goes, "God, it's a bit windy coming over that bridge," and looks around, there's no one there.
No one there, yeah.
And so they
filmed
it.
Was it a bike that had like six seats or something?
Yeah. So, but that was like an extra one. I don't know what the joke was originally, but whatever it was, it wasn't as funny as that. Anyway, so they did that, and of course I'm immediately, "Well, you've just filmed an extra one for him. Can't you film an extra one?" You know, and he's going, "Well, look, you know, we'll see, we've got time, but we're doing some things tomorrow with the police car. If you can think of anything else for that, maybe a car." Immediately I'm going, "Right, okay." So I thought about that one with the, you know. But I sort of prefer some of the shorter sketches though. Have you seen the sketch with someone was asking me the other day what my favourite one was, and for me it was...
Well, I didn't ask it, because someone else had asked it.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
My favourite one,
without any shadow of doubt, is with Jim Tavare. He's in the jungle and he's talking about where they're going to go next. I think it's the second series, I think. And he's pointing at. He goes, "We go over Tabahatu Bridge, but the Bunga Bunga tribe and the."
It's been maybe 7 or 8 years since I've actually seen all the shows.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah,
I have that one on.
I do remember that one.
Queued up, ready on the VHS whenever I want to laugh. For some reason, that really makes me laugh. And actually, I walk in when he's doing this thing. I walk in, he goes, "Once more for you, Vine," and does it again. And I sit there and listen. But of course, my back's the camera. You can see my shoulder go like that, because I'm sort of trying not to laugh at the time.
Because all the place names are kind of dirty.
It's just
word.
No, it's not dirty.
It's dirty.
No, it's just
silly.
Just silly. Yeah. It's like he's. I don't know, it's like, you know, we camp under the paka paka tree, and we go by the humba 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 davidi, and you know, it's just nonsense, you know. Anyway, that's what I like. Well, I like them all, actually. Well, not a lot of them.
Are you familiar with the Australian comedian Sean McAuliffe?
Sean McAuliffe? No.
He's probably I think, level of respect, the equivalent of Steve Coogan.
Is that right?
In Australia.
Even I'm trying to think, what, is he bald?
No, he's got white, grey hair.
Right. He did stuff on telly a lot?
Yeah, yeah. Primarily television.
Did he host the gala last year?
He did. That was
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And he does, what show does he do then? The equivalent of, Have I Got News For You or something?
At the moment he's hosting Talking About Your Generation, which is like a light entertainment quiz show.
Right.
He's hosted that, but it probably his standout show was the McAuliffe program, which he did in the late 90s.
Right, right.
And he won two Logies for that. And I'd seen that when I was a kid. I loved it. He's like a huge influence. And then I saw Knowing Me, Knowing You with Alan Partridge, which was made 1994 or something like that. Only a couple of years ago I saw this. I'm like, oh my god, it's so similar.
Really?
The
is that
style
right?
of you. Yeah.
Right,
I don't know. Yeah.
And so when was McCullough's one then? When was his after?
98,
9,
2000.
Right, okay, funny.
Yeah. He was, see, I actually interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, which is great. And I asked him, I said, you ever considered going to, you know, Britain or the US? He said he was talking to the guy who runs Whose Line in the UK, the UK version. He was talking to him 10 years ago about possibly going to Britain and doing like a version.
Oh, Dan Patterson.
Dan Patterson, that's but it never ended up happening, and now he's like, oh, I'm too old and comfortable here.
I think also, obviously, clearly very well established here.
Yeah.
And if he went over there, you know, could his ego take what would be like starting again? Maybe not entirely starting again, but as far as the public is concerned, it's a bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a similar sort of thing for us. I mean, in a smaller way, because I'm not like a big star in England or anything. I'm not. But at the same time, I have a certain profile in England. I have my little loyal following. And you know, you come over here, and it is a bit like, you know, starting again, a little bit. You know, although obviously I had maybe a little bit of a head start because of a sketch show. Maybe they helped me a little bit early on.
But that was quite popular here.
Yeah, but it was a while ago.
Yeah,
if that had been last year, it might have been different. I mean, you look at someone like Arj Barker, for example, who's a big deal over here, and he's selling loads of tickets. But of course, he's been, I mean, how many years has he been coming for? Like 10 or 12 years or something?
I don't know. I mean, I only heard about him maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, but I think he's been
putting in the
groundwork. Yeah. This is only my second year, you know. So if I wanted to get to that, I'd have to write a different show every year for the next 8 years. So I've got the energy for that.
How old are you?
43.
43?
Yeah. The same age that Paul Newman was when he starred in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Write that one down.
I can't quote you on that.
Now look, I better go because I need to have a shave before my show.
All right.
Viewers. Well, anything else you want to ask? Or any other?
No, it's been great talking to you.
Yeah, you sure you got enough there?
I think I have, yeah.
Was I funny enough? Probably not.
You were very funny.
I don't think I was funny. That's very kind of you, but I don't think, there was no funniness there. There was nothing funny about that. But good to meet you.
All right,
we're shaking hands now.
Shaking hands, just shaking hands.
Right, brilliant. Take care of yourselves.
All right, thanks Tim.